You know, the title of my message today has been spread all online and sent through the text chains. It is Love for God Will Make You. And I wanted to start off this time period in our church's life point for 2023 with love for God, like I mentioned earlier. But I wanted to make sure the genesis of that made sense. And I asked myself, what would be the best way to begin speaking about love for God? Now, I know our church in particular is full with faith-filled people. And I know even the people who are online are faith-filled people. And you always want to have a message that touches every single person that comes in. But I feel like our church knows the duty and the responsibility you have to love God. And maybe we'll touch on that. But what I want to remind some people is what love for God will make you do and be. And how just your love for God will change you. And maybe you hear that today and you're not really as faith-filled, or you're on the edge of the fence, and hopefully this message will show you that there is a benefit to the kingdom and loving God. And if you're somebody who's been in the kingdom for years and maybe decades, I hope that this message still touches you and reminds you of the things that can get lost in the chaotic world and remind you what love for God really is doing behind the scenes for you. And that really starts with this. Love for God will make you love others. In John 13:34, the Bible says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." It's not just a call to love, it's a call to love like Jesus Christ loves other people. That's a big call. It's not good enough to just kind of have a mediocre heat level. You can't have a red flame heat burning for love. You got to have that blue flame love if you're going to love like Christ did. So it's not just a call to love. It's a call to love powerfully and undeniably. And in John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. How can you claim to know the Father if you're not a loving person? Proximity to the Father should dictate how loving you are. And the closer you are to God, the more loving you should be. And if you find yourself in situations where you're not acting out in love, you might have found out that you're not as close as you think you were in that moment. I always laugh at people who say, who have things like, God loves everyone and I love everyone on their Facebook or on their Twitter, and then you scroll through it and it's nothing but hate speech. And it doesn't make any sense to me, because if you really were in proximity with a Father, hate speech and anything but love doesn't feel right. It convicts you. There's a conviction from within your spirit that happens if you're not loving others properly when you're close to the Father. The truth is, you can't be in the presence of God and not love everyone. The closer you get to God, the less you care about other people's lives and the more you care about them. God will change you in such a way that you will fundamentally disagree with some people, and you know you have the duty to love them, and your fundamental disagreements will not get in the way of your love. That's how it's supposed to be. Now, in the political world, or in the moral world, in the social media presence world, there's a directive that you have to agree with everything someone says to love them, and I want you to know that that is a trap of the devil. It's not true. There is a lot of people that I disagree with about many things, and I love them. Every wife disagrees with what their husband wears when they go out. They say we don't look good. Buddy, I think you look sharp, though. That's right. There are small and large disagreements that can get in the way of interpersonal life and the world's idea of love. But God's idea of love is this. It doesn't matter what the person is doing, being, and acting like, or who they claim to be, and the morals that they keep, you love them because they exist and they were created by the Father. And everything created by the Father is beautiful and worthy of love. And yes, there may be some things you want to help them come from without of. This is not a sermon to tell you that all people can do whatever they want and we still should love them. That's kind of what I'm saying, but I don't want people to take that and say that, okay, well, I could do whatever I want and the Christians have to love me, which means they don't get to tell me anything. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you act out of love, and when you tell them that certain things might be detrimental to their spirit, you're doing it out of love and not out of judgment, which we've talked about in my last sermon. Every human interaction is a chance to love someone. Every single interaction. When you take that coffee cup from the person at Starbucks, you may not get the chance to speak to them. But if you have a love of God within your heart, when you grab that cup, you may be sending love their way and they don't know it. Everywhere you are, love should emanate from you. Love for God will make you love others both as a duty, but also as a change of spirit. You may sometimes find in the spirit it's easy to love someone that you may not have been able to love in the past. And other times you may have to dictate to your flesh, I have to love that person. And oftentimes in the Christian walk, in the earthly walk, that's what happens. You find yourself in a spot where everything is telling you not to love someone, and you really are angry, you're frustrated, you aren't even, you may be even on the brink of hatred, but your spiritual duty tells you to love them anyways. That's what love for God will make you love others means. It means that it'll change your spirit to love people more often, but it also means that it'll change your mind to know you have a duty to love other people. As a Christian, it is your duty to love. It's not your option or your choice. If you're not loving people, you're sinning. Hope-filled, peaceful people are loving people. And do you know where you find hope and peace? In the presence of the Father. God is love, which means being with God is being with love. And that changes you. I think of Pastor Kane and Alice and Bonnie and Buddy and the sermons that the pastors have spoken and talked about, and even in my life, how they were knuckleheaded young men, and then they found their wives, and they really drove them to be good, strong men. And the love of Tanisha has changed me into a better person and a more loving, compassionate person. And it's really driven the good things out of me. And while I was alone and I didn't have her in the world, I more often chose the wrong things. And I chose things that felt easy. Well, through her love, I've been changed. That's the kind of love that the Father has for you, but on such a deeper level. It is such a deeper level than that. The deepest love I have here on earth is that love between us. But there is something so big and so vast coming from the heavens that our love pales in comparison to that, which is why we put the love of God at the forefront of our relationship. And that love is so powerful, you must attach yourself to it. You must. And you must share it. You have to share the love of God. You know, the truth is you can't be racist and love God. You can't hate a political party and love God. You can't hate drag queens or people you disagree with and love God. You can't hate anyone and love God. Now, you can disagree with lifestyles and think that things are sinful, but when you slide over to hatred, oh, you've fallen out of love with God. Because love from God means that you look at people and you say, no matter what they are and who they are, I've got to love that person. They need the love within me. And the reason that is your spirit yearns to activate other people's spirit. That is the God that is within you. He that is within me is greater. That he that was in you is trying to activate in other people. So when you have love for God and you look at other people, you can't help but think, I've got to save them for the Father. I've got to activate their spirit, because you know how good that feels, and you know what that's like, and you know all of the problems in the world can be solved like this. If people were to just love God, things would get better. Your love for God necessitates a love for every person you will come across. Sometimes that's because you have a change of heart. And other times, it's because you told yourself to love them and you were dutiful. Either one of those is a good and powerful thing. Either one of those. The truth is, when you love naturally, you are strongly in the presence of God. And when you have to remind yourself to love other people, you have slid a little bit, because that should come naturally. But when you make that duty-filled choice to love them in spite of how you feel, you slide your way over just a little bit closer to the Father. Just a little bit closer. Every time you choose love instead of hate, you are sliding over just a little bit closer to the Father. And that should be what we yearn for as Christians. Now, another thing that love for God will make you do is it will make you seek him. Now, before I get into this, I've been asked, how do I seek the Father? And the truth is, reading his word, prayer, going to church, giving, finding the positive outlook on life, choosing love like we just talked about, and being hopeful and optimistic. Those are the things that I would say immediately are how you seek God. If you want to seek God, seek love, seek his word, seek his praise, and seek his kingdom. And if you can't find that kingdom right away, just seek love as fast as you can, and you will be seeking the Father. But the truth is, loving God feels good. It's addicting. That's how I know as a pastor, as a minister, how deep in his presence you are, by how deeply connected you are to that need to get more of God. God is so good that, like, when you get a hold of him, you just can't take enough. It's like the old Pringles commercial, I bet you can't just have one. Like, you want to keep getting back in there and, like, I got to get me some more God. And when things go wrong, you're like, okay, God's going to move. And things start to be exciting for you. It's almost like you're addicted to the Father. A person who loves God will look for his light in all dark times. You should be seeking him. Yes, there will be doctor's reports and financial reports. You'll lose your job. You and your spouse will have a fight. Your kids will do something you disagree with. People you love may even pass away before you think they should. In those times when the lights in life have been dimmed, the people who love God seek him, and they look for the light. They don't look for answers from the world. When things go wrong, they don't go, well, doctor, what do we do? Or Mr. Banker Man, what do we do? They say, Father God in heaven, what am I supposed to do right now? You show me. So people who love God, they seek him, and that is good because answers come from God. And the world's problems and the things that the devil puts on you are darkness. And the only thing that defeats darkness is light. So the reason that I say that a Christian life is an easier life in some capacity isn't because the solutions come quicker and you don't struggle. That's not true. It's that you know where the answer is supposed to be. While other people have to figure out, where am I even supposed to start? You have a head start. You know, I've got to look for my Father. When things get hard mentally, I find my wife because she is how I find God. Throughout my life, I have struggled with mental health, and I've talked about that in sermons, and I'm glad to share that. For a long time, I didn't want to talk about it, but as I've gotten older, I wanted to share it because I think it's a powerful ministry tool, and I also think it's good to just talk about these things because it's a reality of life. And for a very long time, I felt dim and dark, and like I didn't really have a connection that other humans have, and I didn't feel like I had the capacity to be as good a person as I wanted to be and as good a person as God called me to be. And I thought that I would ultimately end up a failure because of that. So now, whenever I get back in those moments and the dark times come mentally, I go and I find my wife because what she does in those moments is she loves on me, she calms me, she slides away the darkness and calms the voices and shows me what really matters. And she reminds me that I've been through this and I'll get through this again. And she reminds me how powerful I truly am and how good I truly am and that there are things that are in my head that are falsehoods. Right. Truth is, that's what God does on such a bigger level. And in those moments, it's so hard to seek out God in those moments because you're so chaotic. But I know I could seek her out and she'll be my light way to God. She'll be my bridge to the Father. And the truth is, when you love someone that way, you want to be with them all the time. You want to learn everything about them. The reason you could tell young puppy love is because it's just starting and there's such an excitement. You want to be helpful and impactful to them. You want to do right by them. You just can't help but tell others about them. That is how it's supposed to be when you fall in love with God. You should be just like those little 14-year-olds who have their first love and they come home and they say, wow, she's great. And you haven't even asked them anything yet. They sit down at the table and you say, how was school? And you're like, oh, it was good. My girlfriend's great. And you're like, oh, I didn't know you had one. It should be like that with you. You should want to tell people about God. You should want to learn more about God. You should want to help him and impact him. And you should want to do right by him. These are the things that should happen when you're seeking the Father. Because as you fall in love with God, it should somewhat emulate how you fall in love with a partner. Because love from God is the only love that really truly exists. I know that I love my wife and she loves me because God first loved us. So if that's how I love my wife, I should do an even bigger job of that with my Father. In 1 Chronicles 16:11, it says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. You know, some Christians fall in the trap that when things are good, they stop looking for God. Seek his face always. Seek his face always. Because the truth is, they say the devil is roaming about like a lion waiting to strike. And if you've ever watched Animal Planet or Discovery Channel and you see how lions strike, the sun is out And those gazelles, the zebras, they look happy. They found water. They feel good. And off in the distance is a lion they don't know about. Well, things might be good right now, but the devil is plotting against you at this very moment. Keep your eyes on God and seek him. Because that way, when the devil comes and he gets into the light of the Father, oh, he dissipates and those attacks fall by the wayside. And if your light, if your life is not on his light, you will be more prone to darkness. You will be more prone to hard times. So that's why even when things are good, you should seek the Father. You should always be seeking him. Because the truth is, like I started this off by saying, there's an addiction to him almost. You can't get enough. You can't get enough. You go to the, you look at like, let's look at an addict, for example, who was addicted to gambling. Oh, they win $600,000 at Las Vegas, and they bet $700,000 on the next bet. They can't help but do it again. Oh, wow, I won. This is great. Let me feel it again. It's like that with a father, like, oh, he blessed me. I've got to feel that again. Oh, I read this scripture, and it changed my life. I got to feel that again. Oh, when the praise team was worshiping, I thought I could hear God telling me and calming me. I got to feel that again. That should be how we are. Love for God will make you seek him because you can't really love him and not be looking for him. You know, Kendall, my youngest, is absolutely head over heels crazy about my wife. And when she's gone, he's looking for her because he loves her. And that's the most powerful love that young children have is that between the mother and the child. And when the mother's not there, they yearn for them. And they don't, sometimes they don't even know why that's why they're feeling that way. And when Tanisha walks out the door, there he hobbles around right behind her, trying to be with her. We should be chasing the father, just like little children chasing after their mother. That's how we should be. That's who we should be. And the last thing I want you to know about love for God is it will make you who you are meant to be. You have so many fights in the world. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to live? What is my career path supposed to be? As you get older, you think, well, what do I want people to say about me when I'm gone? What do I want my legacy to be? The world doesn't have those answers. The Father does. He will show you who you are supposed to be. As a Christian, I can tell you, there may be small differences, but there is a general thing we should all be. As a Christian, you are meant to be like Christ. So what is Christ like? Oh, Christ is loving and compassionate. He is strong beyond compare, yet gentle beyond description. He is determined and disciplined. I think of him on the cross or walking his way to the cross, determined and disciplined, powerful. He is hope-filled, optimistic. He sees the best in people and only the best in people. He helps people pass their sin, but he never devalues them because of it. He's open to all. He forgives no matter the discretion. He's happy and helpful. When there is a storm, he isn't where the calm is. He is the calm. Powerful and blessed is he. He knows his calling, and he won't let anything stand in his way. He knew the cross was his calling, and he did it. And he didn't let anyone stop him. He is dutiful to God. When he said to the Father, is there any other way? And God said, no. He said, your will be done. And when he said, your will be done, one of the last things he spoke was, it is finished. So not only did he start something, he finished it. He knows who he is. He knows what he's capable of. And he was victorious even when they thought they won. If you want to know who you are meant to be, I'll tell you who you are meant to be. You are meant to be someone in the face of a battle, in the face of turmoil, while others are arguing, spouting hate speech, there you are, loving and compassionate. When other people are falling by the wayside with struggles, there you are, strong beyond compare. But it hasn't made you rigid. You are still so gentle, those around you. You have a determined spirit, and you are disciplined in the facts that you know church is a good thing, tithing is a good thing, ministering to other people is a good thing. When things get hard, you're still hope-filled and optimistic. When everybody else is saying this generation or this generation, this political party is this and that, and there's all these insults being slung, you see the best in those people like the Father. And when people in your life that you disagree with have sin that you disagree with, you love them and you help them pass the sin. And they don't feel devalued when you tell them that they can change. They feel power, empowered by that. You're open to everyone. As doors close in and out by race and creed created population. You have your doors open to all because you know that's what the Father's doors are like. You are forgiving no matter who hurt you. It doesn't matter what they've done wrong to you. There will be people who hurt you, and you forgive them anyways because you know it's right. And when the world has a downtrodden disposition, there you are happy. There you are joyous. And when the world is needing you, there you are helping them. And when people around you have needs, there you are helping them. And when your family is going through a storm, you are not just where the calm is. You are the calm in those situations. Where they say, I don't know what we're going to do, you say, yes, I know what we're going to do. We're going to stand here and let the Father move on our behalf because you are powerful and blessed. And when everybody else is starting to feel rocky in their foundation, you are so powerful that you can't be shaken. You are so blessed that you can't be moved. And you have no reason to ever think very long on who you are and who you should be, because you know your calling and you know what you should be. And that never stands in your way, and you never let anyone tell you anything other than I am Joseph Avery. I am Beth. I am Diane. I am Buddy. And I am a child of the Father. And that means I am a powerful being. And you are dutiful to God when others come through these doors and fall by the wayside as life gets too hard for them or too easy for them and they stop coming. There you are dutiful to God. And no matter what happens in life, there you are making God happen in your spirit. And guess what? When the world tells you you're too dumb, you're too poor, you don't have the talent, you are ugly, you have no abilities, you have poor mental health, you're not qualified to be what you think you should be, there you are knowing who you are capable of and knowing what you actually are. And you can hear those lies and dust them off by the wayside and say, I am a child of God and I have a calling and it didn't come from you. And if my calling didn't come from you, you can't take it from me. And lastly, when the struggles come and when they think they got you and when they think on a personal level that they've defeated you, there you will be victorious. But as a whole of Christianity, as an army of Christians, when the world says, we finally got those Christians out of the way, we finally got that church out of the way, we cleaned up the Jesus from this world, there we will be victorious. There you are. Do you want to know who you are meant to be? Get to loving God. Do you want to know how to love God? Seek Him out. And do you want to know the best way to show other people you love God? Love other people. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much for the great call to love. And we take that great call and immediately, firstly, return it to you, God. We love you first. And we use that ability, God, to love you first. And you fill us with such a powerful spirit, God, that we can't help but share others, share with others who you are, God. And as this year comes along, not only will your numbers in the kingdom will grow, God, not only will that happen, the joy of the people who are in your kingdom will grow. They will start to have such a relationship with you that all of the traps the devil has used before don't work anymore. And there you are, God. There you are fixing us, healing us like always. God, we are so powerfully dedicated in love with you, Father. We are so in love with who you are, God. And as we continue as a church, in this directive of talking about love for God, God, we have such a powerful love, but I hope, God, I hope that you get in so many people's hearts that the love they thought they had for you will pale in comparison to the love they have for you now, that their love will grow for you so mightily that those red flame loves will turn into blue flame loves, God, that you will be so powerfully burned in people that the devil's attacks fall by the wayside. By the time the devil gets to you, he's already burnt to a Chris, because our love for you is so strong. Father God, thank you. We love you. We honor you. Thank you. I love you.